So this is a telephone. Yeah. It's a smartphone. It means it can do a lot of stuff. Email, texting, social media, searching, surfing, shopping, streaming, reading, writing, learning, listening, watching videos, making videos, navigating, instigating, gaming, gambling, banking, and browsing. Wow. It does a lot. It's come a long way since Alexander Graham Bell was granted a telephone patent in 1876. That invention had one goal: to transmit voices over a wire. So that means before we had the wireless phone, we had the wired phone. You boys ever seen something like this? It's not a weapon to use against your brother. So this is a simple, classic variety. There were variations, though. The football phone. Did anyone here have a football phone? So the two men with their hands raised are cool. Like, I didn't know they actually existed because I never saw one in person. There's the sneaker phone. Remember that one? Yeah, sneaker phone. There was rotary. Pay. My personal favorite, the Garfield phone. So these phones were involved in a mystery that lasted about 30 years. Beginning in the 1980s, along the French coastline, phones resembling this lasagna-loving cat just kept washing ashore. On the beaches of France, these phones just kept washing up. But after decades of mystery, a rogue shipping container was discovered deep inside a sea cave, filled with feline phones. So this was all the result of a broken promise. Right? The shipping company had promised delivery of the Garfield phones, but they broke their promise. Rough seas caused the ship to lose contact with its anchor, and it never met its destination. And today, we are offered an anchor, a true, trustworthy anchor for our souls. In our study in the book of Hebrews, wherever you are, like even if you're in a place in your life that you think, how did my life get here? Wherever you are, God offers you the anchor of his promises based on who he is. And you might be drowning in disappointment or anger. Like tragedy or loss may have just crashed into your life. Addiction may have steered your life off course. Like if life is a boat, yours has been rocked way off course. But because of who God is and the anchor he offers, there is hope. So let's pray. God, we are so grateful for the hope that is offered to us in you, in what you have already done through your son, Jesus. That we can come this morning maybe overwhelmed with what's happening in our lives, but you tell us there is hope. So help us know it today and live in it. Use me in spite of me, and would Jesus be seen above all else? And all the church said, amen. So our text today is Hebrews 6, 13 through 20. The first three verses, 13 through 15, we see that our hope is based on who God is. If you're filling in blanks, that's your first one. Our hope is based on who God is. Verse 13, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. And then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Has anybody ever received one of these? Yes. A jury summons? Anybody ever receive one of these and put it in a drawer and forget about it? Anybody ever write a sermon and remember it 2 days after that jury duty? I'm not kidding. I realized this and looked out the window expecting the sheriff to pull up. You forgot about something, son. But it all worked out. So when you serve on a jury, you watch as people use the name of God to swear an oath in court, right? We do this because there is no higher name than God's name. We swear on lots of stuff, right? I swear on my life. I swear on my mother's grave. I swear on my father's sardines, right? We swear on lots of stuff, but God took an oath in his name because there is no higher name, and he is the promise keeper, right? And Abraham knew this. We reference Abraham. He's a character from the Old Testament. He's the father of our faith, and God originally called Abraham to follow him and trust him. So God took Abraham and he showed him all the promised land, and he said, I will give this land to your descendants. He said, I'll give this land to your descendants. The problem was Abraham was an old man who didn't have a son of his own. He wanted a son. So when God said, I'll give it to your descendants, that means he would have a son. So through many trials and many tests, and 25 years later, God fulfilled that promise. So later, when God promises again to bless Abraham and his descendants, that promise was based on who God had already proven himself to be. And here's the best part. God's promises are not hypothetical possibilities, right? They're not these abstract ideas. They are guarantees. They're promises. They are unmovable anchors. The details of our situation don't change God's promises, right? God doesn't say, you did what? Oh, my promise can't cover that. You got yourself into this mess? Well, that goes beyond what I promised. No, his promises are unmovable anchors. Years of doubt, years of suffering don't change them. The hope we have is based on who God is. And this hope, verse 19, leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. So this is a reference to the Old Testament tabernacle. This is an image of kind of what it would have looked like. The Israelites would worship there and offer sacrifices to God. And there's a curtain that hung and separated the two parts of the temple. And only the high priest, only once a year, could go behind that curtain. He would stand in God's presence, and he would offer sacrifices for the people's sin. But Hebrews 10 says, by his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain. Jesus became the perfect high priest who made the final sacrifice for the ultimate forgiveness of his people's sins. Now, sin is a word that could have some baggage to you. You may have been told at one point you're a sinner and not offered anything beyond that. Sin could be a churchy word that you don't think much of. So we've been using this definition. Sin is anything that makes you further from God. Emphasis on two words. Sin is anything that makes you, not the person next to you, not your spouse, further from God. Anything you think about or do, you find yourself further from God. For you, that thing is sin. So sin is like a curtain that separates us from God. But when he gave his life up on the cross, Mark 15 says, Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So the high priest could go behind the curtain once a year, offer sacrifices for forgiveness of sin. And then you know what he did the next year on that same day? He did it again. And the year after that, he would do it again, over and over. Jesus one time went behind the curtain and tore it down. He said, we do not need that. You can have a relationship through God. He said, through faith in me, you have God. And if a human had torn the curtain, let's pretend it was in East Texas, somebody said, well, I got a pocket knife. They would have cut at the bottom and some good old boys would have helped us. We would have ripped it from the bottom up, right? So Mark points out it was ripped from the top down. showing that God himself, through Jesus, destroyed that curtain and said, come to me. And so what we do, our human nature, is that we go to God, we grow in our relationship with him, we grow in intimacy with him, and then we go back. We go back to the sin. We go back to the things that separate us from him. So that's why God said, I am going to rip this down. You're not going to do it, so I'm going to make a way through Jesus. You can come to me. So our hope is based on who God is and what God has already done. Our hope is based on who God is and what he has already done. It's already done. Jesus leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He already ended our separation with God. He already paid for what's broken. He's already faced our punishment. He's already offered for forgiveness. He's already proven God's love. In his love, God sent Jesus to seek us out and anchor us to the hope that's only found in him. It's already done. Our sin separates us from God, so Jesus separates us from our sin, ending our separation from God. So verse 18, therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. We can have confidence in his hope. And so the word that we translate as hope, it means the expectation of good or the thing hoped for, right? The hope we have in Jesus is not this longing for the fairy tale ending of happily ever after. No, it is rooted in reality. It's already given. It's already offered. That means in Jesus, hope is not an attitude or a feeling. It's the actual substance of salvation. Right? Feelings change. Attitudes change, right? I'm about to give you an attitude change, right? That happens. Feelings and attitudes change. That's not the hope we have. The hope we have is an actual substance that comes out of our salvation. So the faith we have is an anchor that can't be moved. You experience tragedy, that hope's not going anywhere. Right? You or someone you love is in a place you just never thought you would see, that hope will not budge. That hope is an anchor that's not going anywhere. It's not an attitude or a feeling. It's the substance of salvation. The USS Gerald R. Ford is the Navy's most advanced aircraft carrier and the centerpiece of U.S. naval power. Has over 90 aircraft, more than 5,000 people. It weighs over 100,000 tons. This bad boy needs a serious anchor. Here's the process they go through for dropping the anchor.
One sailor uses a sledgehammer to drive out the pins holding the chain in place. A second sailor holds a strap connected to the first sailor's back in case he somehow gets attached to the fast-moving chain. It's pretty clear that once the chain starts moving, it's difficult, if not impossible, to stop it in an emergency.
I like that they just got a rope attached to that guy. Like, if you really got caught on that chain, I'm not sure a rope is really, you did great. But the crew aboard that carrier can be confident in that 30,000 pound anchor. 30,000 pounds. The same way Hebrews tells us, be confident in God's promises that are unwavering. Verse 17, it says, God also bound himself with an oath, so that those who receive the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable, for it is impossible for God to lie. God's not going to say, you did what? oh, I'm sorry, I don't love you anymore. He will not change his mind, right? He promised and he confirmed it by his oath. In 1 Timothy, Paul says he did it through Christ Jesus, who is our hope. Jesus is our hope. Our hope is not an attitude or a feeling. It's a substance. It is the Savior, Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians says all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. God has already kept his promise through Jesus. So our hope is based on who God is and what he has already done through Jesus. Through him, God kept his promises. He offers us the anchor of true, unshakable hope. So what do we do with that offer? It's there. It exists. It's been given. So what do we do with it? Ephesians 2 describes a time when you lived in this world without God and without hope. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. So there was a time when everyone in this room lived without hope, with no reason to have an expectation for good, far apart from the thing hoped for, but God kept his promise and offers hope. So the question is, do you have hope? Do you have real, unshakable hope? I don't mean a sunny disposition and a bright attitude, right? Those can get clouded over. I mean, do you have hope? Like when things get ugly and you lose your cool. When the proverbial stuff hits the fan. Right, when you get the phone call that brings you to your knees, or you hear the diagnosis that breaks your heart, when you decided you've lost enough days or years to an addiction, when everything just comes unwound, do you have hope? If not, it is offered to you. Right, Jesus breathed his last breath on the cross so you could breathe the air of forgiveness and freedom and hope. He bled to bring you back to God. Right? His body was broken and buried so that it could be raised back to life so that you could have his hope. So I never want to assume because you came to church that you have received that hope, that you have trusted Jesus. So I want to give the opportunity today. So I'm going to lead a prayer of accepting Jesus' offer of salvation. So if you've never done that and you feel called today to receive that, you can repeat what I say. And you need to know something. All that Jesus said is trust me. Believe me. There's a lot of questions to ask on the other side and stuff to work through. I would love to do that with you. But Jesus says, come to me, trust me. And we start there. So if you've never done that, if everybody bow your heads, if you feel called to receive the salvation Jesus offers, you can repeat this after me. God, I need you. I'm far from you. I turn away from my own effort. I turn away from my sin and I come to you. I believe Jesus died for my sin and you raised him to life. I accept Jesus as my Savior. I give my life to you. I pray this in the name of Jesus. If everybody keep your heads bowed, if you pray that today, would you raise your hand? God, we praise you for the miracle of bringing death to life. God, for the offer you give us of salvation and a future and true hope. I pray that we would be a church that is desperate to know more people coming to you to know that hope, and we would never back away from it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in verse 18, Hebrews promises us that we who have fled to God for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. And this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. And it leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. So when our faith is in Jesus, our anchor is behind that curtain in God's presence. Right? It's already secure. It's already fixed to who God is and what he has done. But we forget this. Right? We lose our grip on hope. We experience tragedy or there's death close to us and we're tempted to think that hope died with it. Right? When life gets hard and things come unwound, we can think hope is gone. The hymn "Abide With Me," it captures this tension beautifully. It says, "Swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day." You know, songwriters used to use creative language that was flowery and metaphorical. So this is saying life is short. That was a joke. Good. Songwriters are still writing songs. "Swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay and all around I see." It's an uplifting tune. "O thou who changest not, abide with me." So when the joys of this earth grow dim and its glories pass away, it is tempting to think that our hope went with it. But our hope is in the one who does not change. Right? Jesus is not changed by our situation. Whatever choices you've made, whatever you have done, whatever's been done to you, that does not change him. Does not change his love for you. Does not change his promises. He is the anchor that won't be moved. But we live in a world that wants to tell us, oh no, that anchor moved a long time ago. No, that anchor never actually settled. Jesus knew this would happen, so he gave us the meal of communion to draw us back to who and where our hope is. So we're going to take communion together, but the Bible encourages us first to examine ourselves. So we're going to take a moment to pray, to tell God how we've drifted, to give God our fears, to give him our anger, give him our confusion, our questions. So take a moment now, talk to God, be honest with him. And let that make you think, be thankful for how much we need this. So God, hear our prayers now. God, we are so thankful that we can come to you in honesty, and that you remind us of what you have already done for us, what you have already overcome. So would you use this meal to remind us of your goodness? In Jesus' name, amen. So if you open the bread, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks to God for it. And he took it and broke it in pieces and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." And you can open the juice. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper. He says, "This cup is the new covenant, confirmed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me." Jesus, we thank you for the hope we have in you, that you tore down the curtain and then you remind us of what you have already done. The life, the freedom, the hope we already have in you. Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. Amen. So there's a really specific place the enemy wants you to lose hope, and it's in your marriage. Right? If he can destroy your marriage and wreck your family and pull apart a community and wreck churches, that's what he would love to do. But we love your marriage. We want to invest in your marriage. So I am so thankful that in January here at our Dover campus, we're going to offer Re-Engage. Re-Engage is a Bible-based marriage ministry. It's a 14-week class that we go through that, and be honest, I don't love doing announcements. I'm not the guy who's ever going to be like, this bake sale is epic. This car wash will change your life. I can't do that, but I will tell you, this will change your life. If you do it and really do it, it will change or save your marriage. I'm so thankful. Christy and I have an incredible marriage we thank God for. So like 5 years ago, we said, we need to invest in that gift. So we went through Re-Engage. It was miraculous, so we've led it several times. And I think every time there's been at least one couple who said, we are getting a divorce. We are. We're doing the church thing so our family will get off our back so we can say, we tried all that, it doesn't work. Some of those couples are not just still married, they actually like each other and are happy. I've talked to a lot of couples who've said, if we would have done this when we first got married, we would have skipped 20 years of fighting. So, I'd like to require every couple we have to go through this. I can't, they won't let me do that. What I will do is I'll say, any obstacle stopping you from doing this, tell me and I will help you, or I will be the solution to making it work. So it's starting in January, Mondays in January, January 5th is the first time. You are allowed to quit paying attention to me right now and go to the website or the app and register. Don't even ask your spouse. You can work it out in the class. So we believe in that. I really mean it. You can sign up right now. For the rest of us, anchors are designed to be dropped and secured in a secure, safe place. That's why Jesus entered God's presence and made the final sacrifice in our place so our hope could be secure. So the chain that connects the anchor to the Gerald R. Ford, every one of those links weighs 136 pounds, and it's 3.5 inches in diameter. Because the anchor is only as strong as the chain that holds it to the ship, right? Here's why you should always sit close. I've got some weights here that represent our anchor and the two options for securing ourselves to the anchor. One is this pretty pink ribbon. The other is a heavy-duty chain. We use this to decorate gifts. I've used this to extract fence posts and remove trees. It's a very violent but fun way to work. But I trust this chain. It will not break. You have an anchor for your soul. It's not an attitude or a feeling, right? It is a substance, and it's based on who Jesus is and what he has already done. So my encouragement to you, to be connected to that hope, choose the chain. When the joys of this earth grow dim and its glories pass away, choose the chain. Right? This ribbon is pretty. I'm thankful I was able to break that. That would have really messed up the illustration. It's pretty, but it's not strong. This chain is not going anywhere. So don't let your connection to hope be a pretty ribbon when it can be a mighty chain. Right? Choose the chain and anchor yourself to Jesus. Amen? The hope we have in him is alive. Let's stand up and declare that together.